tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 29th of May 2026, and you're listening to me, Savannah Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's Friday once again, which means that we have a special guest co-host with us today. We have Grandpa Dan all the way from Texas. Grandpa, good day, sir. How is life treating you?
Oh, we're just chugging along. Once again, we're making that speedy transition here in Texas. From spring to summertime, it's already starting to get hot. So, it is starting to get hot around here. And it looks like things are getting hot in Germany. There's Finn with your article you've got for us today.
Yeah, it's quite shocking, actually. I mean, we know the sort of things that they're teaching at schools over here in Britain. They're talking about homosexual activity and teaching that to young children, and the same over in America. But in Germany, they've gone a little bit further than that. In Germany, they're getting school children to design brothels, not just any brothel, but an inclusive brothel for all different types of perversity. And this is going on in schools. And it actually reminds me of an article from about 10 years ago, and it was written by Benjamin Garmond, and it was on the Daily Stormer website, and it was called Adolf Hitler's Nightmare, the Kinderladen Movement. And basically, after the war, the Frankfurt School and the Jews that were involved in the Frankfurt School, they wanted to prevent anything like World War II happening again. They were very against fascism, very against anti-Semitism, of course. And they decided that they would take influence from Sigmund Freud and Wilhelm Reich. Wilhelm Reich was the father of the free love movement, basically. And they decided that the root of all fascism was the authoritarian personality, which was the father in the home. And it was the family in the home, and it was the family structure of hierarchy. And this all needed to be done away with. And in Germany, they had this movement called the Kinderladen Movement, where it actually included pedophilia between parents and children. And Werner Herzog, famous documentary maker, he actually went in and filmed some of this. And it was horrendous, absolutely horrendous what was going on there. I mean, I'm a bit loath to actually read some of these quotes. They believe the suppression of the love life of children and adolescents is the central mechanism for producing enslaved subordinates and economic serfs. So they thought that it was the repression of childhood sexuality that caused fascism. And they talked about this Oedipus complex where infant children wanted to have sex with their parents. I think I've got a quote here. Reich originally drew his theories about child sexuality from his personal mentor, Sigmund Freud. Freud had a nonsensical theory called the Oedipus complex, wherein he claimed that all infant children want to have sex with their parents, boys with their mothers, in which they long to kill their fathers out of jealousy, and girls also with their mothers, until they eventually realize it is anatomically impossible, wherein they develop penis envy, and they begin to lust after the father. The confused parents of the Kinderladen movement, who believed this psychopathic rubbish, were at once perplexed as to why the children were not showing sexual attraction to them, and delighted that maybe their kids had been cured of this alleged characteristic that Freud talked about. Herzog relates how they actively debated why it was that their preschool children were not seeking direct contact with adult genitals. Could it be, they surmised with hopeful pride, that the children in their school were free of the fixation constellations typical in families. I mean, that just gives you an example of it. There was also an article published in Der Spiegel called The Sexual Revolution in Children, How the Left Took Things Too Far, which gives us many revelations about the Kinderlader movement, such as how the basement was used as an observation station to study sexual behavior in children. Almost every day, the students played games that involved taking off their clothes, reading pornographic magazines together, and pantomiming intercourse. According to the records, a sex exercise was conducted on December the 11th and an effing hour on January 14th. The article goes on to bring out an account of a parents' evening where one of the mothers said that she stripped naked in front of her son so that he could inspect her. In the process, the woman spread her legs to expose her private parts for his inspection. The game ended when the boy stuck a pencil into his mother's vagina. The parents also spent a long time discussing whether it was a good idea to have sex with their own children so as to demonstrate the naturalness of sexual intercourse. Horrific stories of the sexual abuses that took place in Kinderladen schools, such as the one above, abound, but I will leave it at that. I am sure you get the picture. And I've left out some of the worst stuff in that. But this is what these parents were doing after the war to their children. Germany was under the administration of the Americans, or West Germany was, and they had control over what was published, and pornography was being published there, and they basically just bombarded them with sexual imagery to get the men distracted all the time, to break up the family. And they went as far as you can see here, as promoting pedophilia to these poor Germans after the war in their attempt to denazify them. And I guess the end result of that today is that you have schools, as I say, which are teaching the children how to design brothels, which is really our story for today. Before we get into that, Grandpa, do you remember this when this article came out at Daily Stormer? It was about 2014, 2015, I think. I was quite shocked when I read it. Anyway, got any thoughts on this before we begin?
I don't remember the article, to be honest, but it's interesting because it does tie into, in a sense, the goals for the program. The program itself, in a sense, continues on. It brings you back, and you were talking about that, to the eternal, the widespread promotion of pornography. Pornography is a whatever billion-dollar a year industry, and you can go online and get unlimited pornography, whatever you want, and it's all free. You know, it's anytime you have something that they say is a multi-billion dollar industry and it's available for free, you have to ask, well, what's the agenda? Because you have every other industry and you're paying for everything. They charge us for the air we breathe if they can figure out how to do that. So you really have to ask yourself, when you look at how widespread pornography is for free, you have to ask why that is. There's some other motivation behind it. And I think stories like what you're kind of talking about there give you a pretty good hint as to, what the aims of that, could be.
Well, it's used as a weapon of war. It was used in, I think it was the Israel-Lebanon war, the first one. And the Israelis took over the television station and they started beaming pornography into all the Lebanese homes. And yet we're told that pornography is supposed to be freedom of speech. It's free rights. It's part of our liberal freedoms that we have here in the West. Well, if that's so, then why has it been used as a weapon of war by the Israelis against the Lebanese? Well, of course, it's so that the Lebanese men were distracted, of course, straight away. And if you live in a society where there's pornography everywhere, men are going to constantly be distracted and unable to think straight and unable to think about the things that they really should be thinking about. And of course, then they're not likely to mount any resistance to what's going on. They've been effectively neutered by all this pornography everywhere. And what we have now is that they're starting to try and do this to younger and younger children and get them talking about sex under this disguise of, well, we have to protect them from pornography, so we'll just explain to them all about these different things that go on in pornography, and somehow that will prevent them from being harmed by it. I mean, pornography is very harmful, especially if you're very young. You can't unsee the things that you have seen. And in Germany, as I say, I think they've gone much further than they have anywhere else. And that's because they started with all of this in Germany after the war. It was part of the denazification program. And this article that I've got today is entitled Sex Education, Eighth Graders Given Class Project to Design a Brothel. And this comes from Breitbart. And I mean, straight away, that makes me think of the Weimar period in Germany, where you had open brothels. You had all different types of prostitutes catering for all different types of kinks, pregnant ones, underage ones, twins. And the Germans, after the war, there was so much poverty, and they were literally forced into prostituting themselves after the First World War. And this effectively led to a resistance against it, which was Adolf Hitler. And then after the Second World War, again, they just hit them with all of this this pornography to keep them distracted, I think, and to just degrade them and demoralise them. As I say, I think it's worse in Germany than anywhere else. A German school was forced to withdraw a sex education lesson after children aged 13 and 14 years old were given the classroom task of designing a new brothel for all. Children in an 8th grade class at a Catholic high school in Keveler, North Rhine-Westphalia, Germany, were assigned the classwork of designing an inclusive brothel, including floor plans. The local Rhenish Post reported on the remarkable lesson plan on Wednesday, and news quickly spread nationwide, leading to the headmistress and mayor facing demands for explanations. So, of course, this is going on at a Catholic school. One of the most famous quotes that there is to do with pornography was this Jewish guy, and most of the porn sites were owned or run by Jews. Screw the original pornographic magazine. The guy that ran that, he was Jewish. He's got this quote that I'm just about to tell you. It's a rabbi that runs Pornhub, OnlyFans, the guy that ran that recently just died. He was also Jewish. And the guy that owns Screw, Al Goldstein, I think his name might have been. And he said that the reason why they make pornography is to degrade Catholics, basically, because it was all Jewish porno actors, males, and it was all Catholic girls that they were degrading, basically. And that was the point of it, was to degrade Catholics. And now today we have a Catholic high school in Germany which is teaching its children how to make brothels. Not just any brothel, as it says here, an inclusive brothel. And I think even in Germany, I think they legalized having sex with animals. I mean, that's how degenerate Germany has become. As I say, there's been this resentment of Germany after World War II and this decision to just bombard them with pornography and to just degrade their society. And I say now it's gone as far as children here. Grandpa, any thoughts on this?
Well, we have to have the context here of the story itself. Is I just got to say, if this is typical Breitbart, you know, in the sense that, you know, I mean, we're going to cover this topic, but it's a very, you know, what do I want to say, you know, kind of more this culture war outrage bait, you know. In other words, right now, Germany, there's a push by the German government to remilitarize for war with Russia. That's pretty concerning, and that's a pretty big deal. But Breitbart is going to focus us on, you know, the latest woke story of, you know, designing a brothel in school. Yes, it's an outrageous cultural thing, and it always is telling when it says they're forced to withdraw the lesson, which tells us that they didn't want to. You know, they were forced when it came out, when people found out. But, you know, more concerning is like I say, this drive for confrontation with Russia that is not going to, you know, is not going to turn out well. They're talking about drafting, and the Russians now are talking about there's just going to be a need to go ahead and just have a war with these NATO countries. And they're talking about Germany, and Germany is, they're viewing Germany as one of the main drivers and problems behind this. And it's a really big deal. And in the context of that, you know, this culture war stuff is pretty, you know, pretty minor, but it's kind of, you know, a distraction. But it does always come back. You know, yes, there's always this constant attack on the culture. You were talking about beaming pornography in Lebanon. Well, yeah, because, you know, in a lot of ways, pornography is more harmful than prostitution. That kind of on its surface doesn't make sense. But when you understand, you know, prostitution, you know, you're actually still interacting with another person. I'm not saying there's, you know, nothing morally wrong with it, but you're actually partaking in interaction with another person. Pornography, you're projecting, you're training your mind to associate with something that you're not actually doing. And once you disassociate your mind like that, you're going to get in the habit of that, and you disassociate your mind with other realities around you. That's why they were using it as a weapon, because they get people disassociated and they're not focusing, as you said, on you know, fighting back and the things they need to do. Now, you were talking about prostitution being legal in Germany, and they have brothels and all of that. But prostitution is legal everywhere. What is pornography or OnlyFans? I've always found it humorous that here in the U.S. we'll say, you know, well, prostitution is illegal here. If some guy goes out and tries to contact a hooker and it winds up it's not a hooker, it's some cop, and you know, he's undercover, and boy, they'll make a big deal. They arrested these guys trying to pay a hooker. But at the same time, you have the pornography industry, and what happened, you know, because what is prostitution? A man goes and he pays a woman money to have sex. What, you know, that's illegal. But pornography, what is pornography? Well, the pornographer producers, they pay a woman to have sex with a man on camera so that everybody else can watch it. It's literally the same thing. A man is paying a woman to have sex. But in the context of pornography, that's 100% legal. In the context of just somebody doing a transaction one-on-one with a woman, that is illegal. We'll get you arrested and thrown in jail. Which comes back to why I say pornography, that tells you that pornography is more harmful than actual prostitution. That's why it's set up this way. Because you have the same thing. A man is paying a woman to have sex, whether it's pornography or prostitution. But in pornography, it's legal here in America, at least, to do pornography, but not prostitution. And it is. It's mental. It's mental warfare, so as to speak. It's mental warfare against the population, and it's voluntary. You know, when you realize that, you know, you always have the power to say, yeah, I'm going to withdraw and not participate in that anymore. They have to have your consent to do it. And I could go off on a whole spiritual explanation for why that's necessary, but we won't do that today. We'll stick with eighth grade brothels for today.
Well, I think you're right there. I think pornography is worse than prostitution. I think prostitution would be limited to one area, limited to the contact between a man and a woman. And a business transaction taking place in one part of a city, whereas pornography is everywhere. So it's all over the internet. I can remember being young, a youth, and you would go to the news agents to pick up your comics, and there's all this pornography on the top shelf. So it's everywhere. Everyone can see it wherever. You're bombarded with pornography. Whereas prostitution, you don't see prostitution everywhere unless you go somewhere where there are prostitutes. And I think what you're talking about there, Grandpa, might be soliciting. The women that are soliciting men to pay for them on the street, which is very visual, I guess. But again, you're not likely to see that unless you go to the area where that's going on. So pornography is worse. I mean, what we've seen is the pornification of society, soft pornography, or the pop stars, movie stars. They're always in a state of half undress, or they're in their underwear, in their lingerie, and this is used to sell items. You see it in normal advertising as well. I mean, that there was huge billboards with women in push-up bras and things. I can remember when that first came out, and people were shocked at that. But then they got used to it. But they didn't really get used to it. It just means that men are distracted all the time. I think it's more demeaning to men really than women, pornography, because men become hypnotized by it, and they can be manipulated by it. They can be manipulated by women, very, very easily manipulated by women if a man has his passions aroused by that woman. So it's manipulative of men, and when you have it all the time in society, it's a distraction. So this is really not the sort of thing that they should be teaching them in school. And when it says here that they stopped teaching them about these brothels because of the public outcry against it, makes me wonder what else they were teaching them that they didn't stop teaching them about, that we haven't heard about yet, that Breitbart decided not to actually put in their news story. Well, the worksheet entitled The New Brothel for All asked students to consider key areas of modern houses of sexual pleasure design, including what sexual preferences need to be addressed and catered to. How should a brothel be designed from the outside so that it can be visited and desired by all kinds of people? And what should an advertisement for such a brothel look like? So we've gone from being told, well, we have to have sex education because young girls are getting pregnant under the age of 16 before they get married. We need to have sex education so that we can teach them so that they don't get pregnant. Of course, that didn't actually bring down the pregnancy numbers at all. The pregnancy numbers just increased. And now, sort of 20 years on from that, and the sex education doing that, now sex education involves designing brothels for all different types of sexual preferences, which means that these 13-year-olds have to have been taught about different sexual preferences in the first place, which, I mean, it must be very, very traumatizing, I should imagine, being told about some of these sexual preferences at 13 years old. Especially if you're a woman and you're being told that some men like this sort of thing or some women like this sort of thing, I mean, it's going to be very, very traumatizing for them. And then to basically to say, well, this is quite normal for men to just pay to have these different kinks catered to. And in our society now, you might be expected to be designing a brothel or working in a brothel when you get older. I mean, that's the other side to this. With students having to pay for their education at universities now, a large number of them end up having to prostitute themselves in order to make money for it. And at these freshers' balls, I think that's what they're called when they first go to university, and they have these different stalls out, and the stalls are there telling them what clubs they can join and what benefits there are for people in university. There are also stalls there from escort agencies and from strip clubs, and it's not uncommon for a law student to have to make the money in order to pass her law degree, has to work as an escort or work in a strip club as well, and that's that sort of thing is now normalized in Germany and other places. So we've sort of normalized this whole culture so much so that we're teaching it to children as if this is just normal. When you grow up and you're a little bit older, you might well be running a brothel, or one of your family members might be working in a brothel. So here's a lesson that we'll do in how to design one. And it's not going to be a racist one, and it's not going to be discriminating against people. You need to have one that caters for all different types of perversions. I'm not going to talk about these different perversions, but these students must have been talked about that. I mean, the sort of stuff that we wouldn't like to really discuss on Radio Albion has clearly been discussed in this classroom before they started designing this brothel. I mean, it is, the more you look at it, the more shocking it is, Grandpa. I mean, what do you think of this inclusive brothel for all kinds of sexual preferences? What do you think they could possibly be?
Yeah, well, I remember back, one of my first takeaways for this is I remember back when I was a kid, you know, in school around that age, you know, and you'd come around usually once a semester and they'd have career day and talk about all your potential careers, and they're keeping it alive and well here in Germany. There's one of your, like you say, one of your potential careers, you know, you could always be a hooker. And of course, they sell these things. You were talking about strip clubs and stuff for the college students. And they promote these things to young people that don't know any better, particularly young women, with this idea that you're going to make a lot of money. You know, they'll come in. I saw a video a while back popped up in my YouTube feed, and they were talking about this woman had worked in a strip club. Because you have all they were showing, and what they did is they were showing all these different videos putting out, basically promoting it. And these women in a strip club with their stacks of cash talking about, you know, how much money they're making stripping. And these young women will hear this, you know, and oh, my gosh, they see this stuff on the Internet. And some woman is up there saying that, you know, she made, you know, $5,000 a night stripping in the club. And this woman doing the video, she bought into it and she went and worked in the strip club. And it's not like she was ugly. And she was telling the reality of how it works. Because the reality is never what they portray it to be. And she got into the reality. Well, it depends on what night you get to work and this and that, how much money you're going to make. And at the end of the day, she quit and she was like, yeah, she didn't make hardly anything. She could have just gone and got a regular job because, you know, the strip club takes a portion. And, you know, if you're not on a good night, you're not going to make that much money. Then the strip club takes their cut. And somehow that's not human trafficking, by the way. You know, they bring these women in and they take, just like a pimp, they take part of whatever they made. These guys are giving them 20 for a lap dance or a dollar for dancing on, say, whatever they give. And the strip club, like the pimp, he takes his cut. But that's okay. That's not part of human trafficking. You know, anyway, she was talking about the reality that you don't actually make any of this money. The same thing. You watch what they promote. And, you know, like OnlyFans, for instance, and they always tell you the story of some woman that's, you know, making, I don't know, $20,000 a day selling her farts off of OnlyFans in a bottle or something. And when women see this, and it's like, my gosh, I'd like to make $20,000 a day. Who wouldn't? But the reality is if they get into it, they find out they degrade themselves for pennies on the dollar. That's the reality. There's a handful of people that get promoted and they so that they can be the front of it and they can go and do these interviews on podcasts or do these things, you know, make videos online and talk about how they make $20 million a year being a prostitute on OnlyFans, because that's what it is. It's prostitution. But the reality is when women buy into it and they think, yeah, that I want some of that. I want to make some of that bank. And they try to do it. They degrade themselves for pennies on the dollar. The reality is very different, you know, from what they tell you. And it is telling that they promote it. Now, at the heart of this, would you come back down to here, getting back to our story? You know, the heart of this matter, all of this that we're discussing here, is this lie. It always comes back to a lie because, you know, the devil is the father of lies. So he's always going to lie. And I said I wasn't going to get into this, and I am, because to get into it, you have to get to the truth of the matter. The devil's father of lies, and the devil always gives you a choice. So we were talking earlier about pornography. You choose to do it. There has to be a choice involved so that you have guilt involved. Otherwise, you know, it's just something that's done to you. So these things are presented, and you're deceived so that you will choose to partake in them. Now, the overarching lie here in all of this, which are you bringing up these different parts of the brothel and these kinks and all of these quote unquote sexual preferences that are catered to, that is all in the framework of the lie of sex as a recreational activity. Sex is normal. Sex is, everybody has, you know, a desire to have sex. Men especially are driven that with their sexual desires. It gets them into trouble all of the time. And the reason is so that ultimately human beings will, you know, continue the species, will continue their lineage. Otherwise, you know, this is why you look back in history and during war, famines, horrible times, and you think, why didn't those horrible things wipe out humanity? Well, because that sex drive that is present naturally drove people to continue to have children. And the children died in mass, but enough of them survived that the species, the lineage survived. Even though they had them in the worst of times, where people, if they said, well, you know, looking at this logically, we shouldn't have children right now. But they did anyway, and it continued the line. So sexual, you know, sex as a record, as a procreation, this is all within God's natural order of things. The twist now is this framing of it's strictly a recreational activity. You know, if you want to have children, that's a secondary thing. And this is the lie. This is where you get into this nonsense of you know, sexual preferences. Look, there's just sex that ultimately leads to procreation. This framing of this is what you, something you just do for fun. This is just, you know, maybe you like playing soccer. Maybe you like to go in your backyard and dance around with a hula hoop, whatever the hell. Or, you know, you like to go take it in the ass. I mean, it's just whatever you do for recreational activity. And that's the twisting. And that's the lie. And it just builds one upon the other and gets more and more degenerate and more destructive, self-destructive to individual people. That, you know, nobody's, you know, no woman's life ever got made better by becoming a stripper. It's like being on drugs. Nobody looks at a drug addict and goes, man, I want to do that. Yeah, it always, all of these things always wind up self-destructive. But yet they promote them. When they promote them, what do? They show some young woman and she's all dolled up and she's talking about how much money she's making doing this, you know. And it's to tempt people to say, yeah, maybe I want in on some. But ultimately, 100% guaranteed, it's self-destructive. I kind of got off on a tangent there, Sven, but yeah, there's probably, I'm sure in the design of the brothel, I'm sure there's cattle pens down there or some shit. You know, I'm sure there is. But yeah, ultimately, however it's manifesting, I can 100% guarantee you it is self-destructive.
Oh, completely. I mean, one of the problems is they can't just dip into it and dip out of it. I mean, say if they're young and they get involved in that industry for a couple of years, that's it for the rest of their life. I mean, no bloke is going to want to marry someone who's been involved in that industry. And also, when you're talking about procreation and sex for procreation, sex is also for pair bonding. And the general idea is that you produce children and then you will pair bond with the same person that you produce the children with. And by having the sex, you continue to have this strong bonding between the pair of you. The more sexual partners there are, the less of a pair bonding effect there is. So the less sexual partners you have, the more likely your marriage is to succeed. You're more likely to stay together. So the more sexual partners there are, the less likely you're going to be able to get married and settle down, the less likely you are to provide a stable home for the children. According to these theories here, the less likely you are to be a fascist or a national socialist, to bring it back round to this original bit where they saw that it was the family and the natural hierarchy of the family that led to fascism and national socialism. So they want to break up the family. How do you break up the family? Well, you bombard them with pornography and you tell them to have extramarital sex, to have as many sexual partners as possible, and it really doesn't matter. And it does matter, because you won't then be able to provide a stable home for your children. Your children will end up being messed up, and by splitting apart the family, you end up splitting apart the nation. The nation isn't built up of individuals. The nation is built up of strong family units, builds up the ethnic nation. So they're basically attacking the nation at its very roots by going after the family, by promoting this sort of stuff. Getting back to the article here, after considering these factors, including who would work there, what it would offer, and drawing a floor plan, the class would be brought in at the end for a group discussion. The school, Ferdinand von Galen Gymnasium, was invited to offer an explanation for this extraordinary sex education lesson, and while it didn't exactly double down, it also insisted that it had been delivered for all the right reasons. And of course, this is what we hear all the time with these things, and most of the time it is correct. People are trying to do the right thing, especially, you know, white people. We care about others. We don't want anyone to be excluded. We want everything to be fair. I mean, it may be a very female way of looking at things, but we want everyone to be included. We don't want anybody to be excluded. And part of that is the reason why we have so many of these problems. It's why we have these open borders. It's why we have immigration problems. It's why we have children being molested by homosexual parents and raped and killed is because we don't want them to be left out. We want them to be able to adopt children as well. So this desire to help people ends up harming people. And it's the same here. As I say, they insisted that they had been delivering this lesson for the right reasons. The headmistress said, reports WDR, the material under the heading Sexual Education of Diversity, Practical Methods on Identities, Relationships, Bodies and Prevention for Schools and Youth Work is deliberately designed to be provocative in order to stimulate discussion. It responds to developments in our society with a diversity of lifestyles and gender roles. It also addresses the heavy use of social media channels by children and young people and the associated flood of information about various forms of sexuality. So she's effectively saying because children are bombarded with this pornography everywhere, we effectively need to teach them to design brothels for this new society that we have, this new pornified society that we have. When in actual fact, what they should do is de-pornify society and prevent the children from having access to that sort of thing. Not train them up so that they can interact better with it once they're adults. But I mean, what she's explaining here, it's the excuse for all of it. It's the excuse for why we have children mutilating themselves and cutting off their genitals is because for the tiny number of children that have gender dysphoria, we don't want them to be left out. And the end result of that is that you end up with children cutting their genitalia off and then realizing that in actual fact, they weren't transgender at all. And now they've mutilated their bodies. But at the root of that is not a desire to hurt children. At the root of that is a desire to help children. But unless we stick to our traditions and our traditional morality as a guideline for when we wish to do good for other people, then it's going to end up in situations like this where we're just harming the children. I mean, that's what I believe is at the root of it. If we ignore our traditional morals as a guideline, because you could say, well, what's the guideline for if you want to try and help people? What's the guideline if you want to help these kids that have gender dysphoria? Well, the guideline is the traditional morality. Would you encourage somebody to believe that they're the opposite gender when they're a child? Well, no, you should want them to be happy in the gender that they're in. That's the way to deal with it. And it's the same here. What do we do about the pornification of society? Well, we try to limit the pornification of society. We don't start teaching children how to design brothels so that they can interact with the pornification of society better. And that's my thoughts on this, Grandpa. What are your views on it?
I don't pay a lot of attention to the words of liars and their talk of good intentions. This line, you know, because you just easy glance at this and you could start spotting the lies. It's deliberately designed to be provocative in order to stimulate discussion. You know that's a lie. It's not to we know what kind of discussion would be allowed. Oh, it's going to we just want to stimulate, we just want to discuss. Now, you imagine when the student stands up is stimulating discussion. So the students stand up when they have their group meeting and says, you know, this is degenerate. Why does our society function this way? You know, that's not going to be allowed. They want to stimulate discussion. And I call BS on this. These are liars lying like they always do. And, you know, they don't want to stimulate discussion. You know what kind of discussion will be allowed. And you know that certain topics and discussions will not be allowed. You know, the discussion, if the group discussion that they have here as part of this program turned into what we're discussing right here, you and I, Sven, on Radio Albion, you can bet they would shut that down right away and they would be told, in fact, they would probably be arrested in Germany. So you'd be arrested for some sort of hate crime. So would they, oh, we want to stimulate, it's provocative, but it's just to stimulate discussion. No, it's not. It's to stimulate compliance. It's another enforcement of mental and spiritual compliance. They don't want to stimulate discussion. Like I said, if students started having a discussion like you and I are having on this topic, it would be shut down immediately. And again, it's Germany. They would probably be rounded up for re-education. It's a hate crime. It's a lie. And I don't suffer these liars. I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're liars, and all they do is lie. Now, you got into the morality, and I actually had this noted, jotted down here. This is part of the problem when you have, when the people, and we're going to blame people in general here, when you surrender your moral authority to the government, to quote unquote, the experts, this is what you get. You're going to get the opposite of morality. You know, when you, all throughout history, when people become godless, when they abandon the truth and they go, they become godless, they latch on to something fake and they surrender their morality from the holy, true, and good and hand it over to the government. This is what you get time and time again, all throughout history. This is what you get. You get the you get the same results over and over, and yet human beings keep doing the same stupid stuff over and over, expecting some sort of different result. You surrender your moral authority to the government and the government approved experts. And you get, this is the sort of thing you get, the opposite of any sort of morality. And everybody acts shocked and surprised. And it's like, you know, you surrender moral authority to these, to the government or these experts. And this is always what they do. They, you know, because again, it always comes back to this world as a spiritual battleground. And people just keep falling for the same obvious traps over and over, the same obvious lies from the same obvious liars. Oh, we were wanting to be provocative to stimulate discussion. Like there's going to be some open discussion. No, there's not. There's going to be one line of discussion that will be allowed. And any other line of discussion might get you landed in jail. That's not stimulating discussion. It's stimulating, it's enforcing compliance.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. They don't want a discussion at all. That's not the point of this. Well, the school said it would not offer the same lesson again in future, stating students are to discuss the diversity of lifestyles and sexuality in a different way in the future and apologise for causing unrest in the community. And I think that's admitting that it's not going to be a discussion, like a pro and against discussion, because it's just said there that students are going to discuss the diversity of lifestyles and sexuality in a different way in the future. So what they mean is they're just going to talk about all the different sexual proclivities there are and all the different perversions that there actually are to these children, and they're going to be told you have to accept that because society is now diverse. That's what diversity is. Instead of it meaning a diversity of different nations and cultures that are all different to one another, it means we just have one culture, which is the same, one consumerist culture, where anything goes, basically. And that's everywhere. That's not a diversity. That's a degenerate conformity. Where the local alternative for Germany, the AfD, Sovereignist Right, as it says here, party, demanded an explanation from the mayor of Kevelaer, Social Democrat, SPD globalist left, Dominic Pischler. While he acknowledged the lesson had been provocative and perhaps not entirely without risk, the mayor said, in general, children receiving sexual education is normal. And what happened is not a scandal, in his opinion. So it's not a scandal, in his opinion, that children were asked to design a brothel. And when he says it's perhaps not entirely without risk, what does he mean by that? That it's sort of encouraging these children to grow up and become workers in brothels, or to see that as normal? I should imagine that's perhaps the risk that he's talking about, but he's certainly not going to condemn this. I'm pleased that the Alternative for Deutschland did condemn this. And I guess it's predictable that the person on the left wouldn't, especially when we bear in mind this Kinderladen movement, which was a left-wing movement, which took over all these schools, which was effectively pedophilia with the aim of denazifying Germany and preventing nationalist thought from ever arising again. Grandpa, any thoughts on this before I move on to the next quote?
You just have to love the non-apology, you know. They're not sorry that they did this. They're sorry they got caught. They said, when he says it's not entirely without risk, mean risk of doing the wrong thing. He means risk of getting caught. They got caught. So now they're saying, oh, yeah, no, we won't do this again. Why would you believe that? If a guy got caught going around breaking into houses, doing home invasions, and he got caught, imagine he gets caught by the police and he looks at the police and says, man, I'm really sorry. When I undertook doing home invasions, I knew it wouldn't be without risk. But don't worry, I'm not going to do it again in the future. So, okay, go ahead. Go ahead and just we'll let you on your way. He promises he's not going to do it anymore. You know, he's not sorry he did it. He's sorry he got caught. And it's the same way with these people. It's the same mentality. They're not sorry that they don't realize some error. You look at the way they use words, you know, like a form of spell work. They use words to manipulate. And this is a trap people fall into. They assume, because normal people, like you listening and like Sven and myself, we use words to communicate. We don't necessarily agree. That's why people have arguments and debates, because, you know, somebody believes one thing, another person believes another thing. But when you go back and forth, you're exchanging words to try to exchange ideas, viewpoints. These people use words strictly for manipulation, and people fall into that trap all the time. They think they read this and they're like, well, they got caught, and they realize that, yeah, that might have been a bad idea. No, they don't. They're sorry they got caught. And the rest of this is just manipulative rhetoric to might try to make smooth things over. And then, you know, until they introduce the next program. Now, I wanted to put one exclamation point on the previous about surrendering your moral authority to the government. And this is a problem with the people, because it's easy to just blame the school and blame the government. But surrendering your morality to these people, to the government, that's on you. That's on the people. And just to put an exclamation point on this idea of not surrendering your moral authority to the government, it doesn't say in this article, but you know, and I know 100% this. Well, it does say, because it says it was at a Catholic school. Boy, I don't know how the Catholics in that area feel about that. But you and I both know, and everybody listening, we all know without, even if you leave that part out, you already know 100% this didn't happen in an Islamic area of Germany. We all know this didn't happen in a Muslim area of Germany. They wouldn't even try that crap. Why? Because you don't have to agree with the religion, but these people have not surrendered their moral authority to the German government or to the so-called experts promoted by the government and by these schools. So they leave them alone. They don't even try over there. And that's where the people need to take a lesson and say, yeah, those people haven't surrendered their moral authority, and they're not having their kids taught how to design a brothel with cattle pens in the basement. But ours are. Why is that? Maybe one should start by asking who you have given moral authority to in your life.
Yeah, that's a good point. They certainly won't be doing this in the Muslim areas, just like they don't have drag queen story hour in the libraries in the Muslim areas. Germany is one of only a handful of countries where both prostitution and the operation of brothels are totally legal. Prostitution is treated as a registered profession, with registration documents and income tax paid. However, this hyper-liberal settlement is one that has come under increasing criticism, particularly because the sex industry is propped up by immigration and human trafficking. It tells us that prostitution is legal, it's treated as a registered profession, and then you're teaching children about how to design a brothel. You're basically priming them to work in brothels when they're older by treating it as normal. That's, you know, what this is doing. It's grooming these children. Grooming is what it is. Broadcaster Tagesschau reflected this changing attitude in its report, noting criticism of the school lesson from some quarters, not only for its suitability for the classroom, but also for its implicit acceptance of prostitution as moral. The report highlighted commenters who said the portrayal of a brothel for all as something positive in a school demonstrates the lingering prevalence of what are now old-fashioned, hip, cool, and super feminist ideas in education, that prostitution is liberating and anti-patriarchal. I would add to that, it's also the follow-on from this Kinderladen movement that they had in the 60s, and the denazification of Germany and the promotion of smut, basically. Dr. E. Michael Jones talks about this smut and unst, or something like that. They had this word, and it was the Catholics that were trying to fight against this pornification of their society. Obviously, they lost because it's now being taught in their schools. I think that is a point needs to be sort of hammered home there, that this is going on in a Catholic school. This is what they're teaching them. And it's obviously, is it the Catholics doing this, or is it the German state education? It sounds like it's a state education idea, basically, that's just been given to them. And I don't think they will have this at the Islamic schools, and I don't think they would be teaching them that in the Jewish schools either. But they certainly would be teaching them that in the Catholic schools, because they think teaching this sort of stuff will help to prevent nationalist sentiment from rising within the school. I mean, it could be that it has the opposite effect. That's what would happen if they were allowed to have a proper discussion about it, because someone would speak up and say, well, this is degenerate. I don't think we should be having this. I don't think we should be having this in society. And I think they would get a lot of support if they were to do that. And then the children would realise that not everybody supports this. But as you pointed out earlier, Grandpa, they wouldn't have that. Those people that did that would get reported to the German equivalent of Prevent, I suspect. What are your final thoughts on this for today, Grandpa?
Well, if your morality does not come from God, it'll come from someone else. And if it comes from the government here, you know, when you remove people from God, they create an idol. They will fall into idolatry because it's in human nature to do so. And it's really highlighted in that last part you read. They justify this with what? Oh, they're registered. They pay tax. Like that is the standard. Well, hell, they pay tax. They're registered with the government. They're approved by the government. And they're even paying taxes. It's great. They're paying taxes. Never mind the moral rot. When you read a story like this, you know, whenever I hear the hysteria about the Muslims and they're gonna take over, create a caliphate, impose Sharia law. And then you read stories like this, and I honestly think Sharia law may be the only hope for Germany in this case. Would it be worse or better? If they established a caliphate in Germany and established Sharia law, are they really going to be worse off? Uncomfortable questions. But then again, here, Radio Albion, we do stimulate, we do encourage discussion, unlike these people in the article we just had.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good question. Would they be better off under Sharia law? They wouldn't have this. They'd be like the Islamic areas. Of course, we're not calling for Sharia law. What we are calling for is a return to our traditional morality, our traditional Christian morality. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.